Let's go to D. Point number D. The word of God and faith. He said God's word is both armor and weapon for a child of God. Now, you know the difference between armor and weapon. Armor is for protection. Weapon is for attack. The word of God is both armor and weapon for a child of God. Faith is what activates the word of God. It says, discuss how we can employ this against plagues and pestilences. Look at Psalm 91 verses 2 and 4. Amen. What will you do? I will say. So that's the word of God. I will say. You say the word. You speak the word. That is how you enjoy the protection in Psalm 91. I will say. Now, very important. You release the authority and the power in the word by speaking the word in faith. Ebola will never touch me. Ebola has no place in my family. Ebola will never touch my children. Now you speak those words. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my strength. So you declare it. I am hidden in Christ Jesus. No disease can touch me. Jesus already took my infirmities and carried my sicknesses. By His stripes I am healed. Any Ebola virus that comes near me dies instantly. In the name of Jesus. You see, you declare those words. You declare those words. You declare those words. And they are not empty words. You see, that's God's word and faith. You release the word by faith. Very important. I will say of the Lord. I'm not keeping quiet. I will say. I'm not going to use my mouth to say, hey, this Ebola. My friend the other day just died. Though I don't know what's going to happen to me next. Maybe I'm the next. No. I don't talk like that. There's no faith there. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my strength. My God, in whom will I trust? I have a covering in God. I have a fortress. God is my fortress. A fortress that cannot be penetrated by the arrows of the wicked. You say things like that. When you say that, that is when the protection actually forms around you. Now look at the next one. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17. Yes. The word of God is the sword of the spirit. He said, take it with you. Because sometimes you need to strike at the enemy. You foul spirits of Ebola, I come against you in the word of God. It is written, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. I rebuke you from my family. I rebuke you from my life. You will never come nigh my dwelling. In the name of Jesus. You speak things like that. So that's what it means to take the sword of the spirit. The reason it is called the sword of the spirit, there are two reasons why it is called the sword of the spirit. Number one, that is the sword that your spirit uses to fight. Number two, it is the sword that can cut the spirit realm. If you throw a stone at a demon or a witch, they will laugh at you. But when you release the sword, it cuts them in the spirit. That's why it's called the sword of the spirit. Look at Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21. Yes, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What power is in the tongue? Spoken words. So that is the power of the tongue. The tongue is used for speaking. He says it contains the power of life and death. So instead of speaking that, oh, maybe I'm the next. I don't know this Ebola. I don't know what's happening now. Everybody just died. Maybe I'm. No, that's speaking death. You speak life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the way to speak life is to put God's word in your mouth and release it. Just like putting a bullet inside a gun and pulling the trigger. Now look at Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say, you see again, the speaking is like pulling the trigger. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, that mountain can be Ebola. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. But shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, why did he say, and shall not doubt in his heart? Because sometimes when you speak it, it looks like nothing is happening. But you decide that God's word is true, not a lie, and that you're not going to doubt. The Bible says, by and by you will see it come to pass. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. So the word of God is sharp. You can cut invisible spirits with that sharp sword by releasing it in faith. So we are looking at the word of God as a weapon and as an armor, which you put to use by faith. That's the word of God. Then in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, we won't be able to read it, but that is the temptation of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus faced the devil with only one weapon. It's called, it is written. It is written. It is written. And the devil was beating hands down because Jesus simply spoke the word against every attack of the enemy. And the devil was forced to bow. There is power in that word. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25. Don't be afraid of sudden fear. When it comes, don't be afraid of sudden fear. Suddenly everybody is afraid. The Bible says, don't be afraid. A child of God walks by faith, not by fear. Whenever there is fear, the devil is invited. The devil is the one that walks with fear. God walks with faith. So if a child of God is allowing fear, he's inviting the devil. He's saying to the devil, I'm here. I'm here. I'm not safe. I'm not protected. And when you invite the devil, it doesn't take long before he answers the invitation. Now that's very, very important. So you need to understand that you are not to allow fear. You are not to allow fear. You need to walk by faith, not by fear. Look at Job chapter 3, verse 26. You see what Job was saying there? He was talking about his own situation. He said, I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. This is somebody God set a protection, a hedge of protection around. And still, inside that protection, he was afraid. He said he was not in safety. When God already made him safe, the devil himself recognized the safety around Job, the hedge around him. But Job was saying that he was not in safety. He had no rest. He was not quiet. He was jittery all the time that maybe the enemy will come. He said in spite of all of that, trouble still came. What he did not realize was that refusing to be confident in God, refusing to have confidence in God, was inviting the devil to come. So Job had a very serious trial in the hands of the enemy. One of the things that invited the devil was the fact that Job was not at rest, was afraid that destruction might come, and that trouble came to him. Yes, one of the reasons Job had that serious trial, we see it here in Job chapter 3, verse 26. Even when God had set a hedge of protection around him, Job still felt very, very unsafe. He said, I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet. Yet trouble came. So there's no profit in fear. When you begin to allow fear into your life, you are inviting trouble. So you might as well just be confident in God and trust him. And God will work on your behalf. Because fear invites the devil, just like faith invites God. Now let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Yes, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Anyone that is born of God has victory over the troubles in this world. And the reason is this, our faith. Faith is the key to overcoming the challenges in the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So whether it is Ebola or whatever, faith is what helps you to overcome it. The victory is in your faith. So you must learn how to take hold of the word of God and confront the adversary and say, you are not coming to my domain. You will not park in my compound. You will not park, you will not touch my body. You will not prosper against my loved ones. You've got to apply the word of God. It's not just believing it, but believing it and releasing it. Amen. Let's go to the next one. Prayer. It says prayer is a trigger that releases the power and the presence of God, which no plague or pestilence can withstand. It says prayer is the trigger that releases the power and the presence of God. So prayer is a trigger. Prayer helps to release the power and the presence of God. And no plague can withstand that presence. So if you want God's presence to be real in your life, give yourself more to prayer. And the more you generate that invisible cloud around you, the more every plague runs away from you. He said, discuss how a believer can use the power of prayer for protection against plagues and pestilences. Discuss how a believer can use the power of prayer for protection against pestilences and plagues. Let's look at Matthew 21:13. Jesus was the one speaking there. He said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Who is the thief? You say the devil. Why do you say it's the devil? Okay, thank you for that. Who else knows what Jesus meant when he said, you have made it a den of thieves? The Pharisees. Okay. Yeah, you people are correct in what you have just said, that it was referring to people. But then there's a spiritual application of that statement. Now, spiritually speaking, who are the thieves? Okay. Somebody said the demons. Any other person? Okay. So, you think that it's talking about men of God who are stealing from church? Okay. Who? Satan himself. Okay. Any other contribution? Demons. Why do you say demons? What scripture do you have for that? Yeah, I'm happy that that was actually I was pressing for. Spiritually speaking, the devil is the thief. The Bible says he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So when he said it, when Jesus said a den of thieves, if you are applying that spiritually, you are looking at the devil and his demons. They are thieves. He says, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So when believers are not praying, they are opening the door for the devil to build his den and be destroying the house of God. When believers are not praying, they make God's house a den for devils and demons. And when they come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And they use different weapons to do that, including pestilences and plagues like Ebola. So where believers are not praying, Jesus holds them responsible for allowing the devil to come to steal and destroy in his house. So prayerlessness is licensing the devil to come and take what does not belong to him. Sound health does not belong to him. Lives do not belong to him. But he comes and takes all of that because the thief is at work and those who are supposed to be praying, they are not praying or they are not praying enough. Look at James chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. So you see what he's saying there. Prayer can lock and unlock. So you can lock the door against sicknesses and diseases. You can lock the door against pestilences and plagues. You can tell pestilences and plagues to pack and go when you are somebody of prayer. You can protect your church through prayer. And it's not just any kind of prayer. It says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So he's talking about that heartfelt, continued prayer. It generates heat that the devil cannot stand. And when you are praying those kind of prayers, the devil doesn't like to hang around you. Look at Matthew chapter 17, verses 19 to 21. Amen. You see, in that place, the disciples faced an embarrassment. They were struggling to cast out a demon, and the demon refused to go. So they now came to Jesus later on, and they said, Lord, why could we not cast him out? Jesus said, you had two problems. Number one, unbelief. And secondly, the devils you are dealing with, you don't deal with these ones when you have not prayed properly. He said, these ones do not go except by prayer and fasting. So you can see that when you put these weapons to work, the devil is forced to bow. This one will not go except by prayer and fasting. So that is very, very important. Prayer and fasting. That keeps the devil off your business. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Now if you look at the verses before that, you see that Paul was teaching believers about spiritual armor. He said the belt represents the truth. He said righteousness has to do with the breastplate. He said the helmet is salvation. He said the sword is the word of God. He said the boot is peace, walking in peace. But you will see that he never gave any aspect to prayer. Eventually, he came to the end and said, praying always. Which means that prayer cuts across all those armor. Prayer is relevant for the application of every armor that you want to use. Prayer cuts across all the armors and the weapons. You have to be prayerful to be able to use the weapons. You have to be prayerful to be able to use the armor, your spiritual armor. You may know all the scripture there is to know, but if you are not praying, it will just be ordinary words. The devil will not respect your words. You can speak the grammar and nothing is happening. It is the prayer, how prayerful you are, that causes your words to carry power. You can say you are exercising faith, but if you are not prayerful, it's difficult to exercise faith. Now, where a believer is not prayerful, his or her spirit will be weak. And if your spirit is weak, there's not much you can do, really. It is like having an engine that is defective. And meanwhile, you have brand new tires, you have leather seats in the car. You just repainted the car and it looks very fantastic and nice. You have new headlamps and everything looks very fine. But there is a problem with the engine. Will that car move? It won't move. It is the engine that supplies life to all those other parts of the car. The engine is what supplies life to other parts of the car. So if a believer is not prayerful, if you are not deep in prayer, you may know the word of God. You may know what the Bible says about faith. You may know a whole lot of things. But when it comes to putting those things to work, you find that there's no power. Hallelujah. Any questions so far? Okay, I will give you time to ask questions. Let me finish the last one.